beginning to look a lot like Boogaloo! All right, welcome back to another episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. This is season 4, Holodamned. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am happy to be here to talk about the movie Elves, starring Fat Grizzly Adams. And I'm going to do the rest of the show as Fat Grizzly Adams and his level of engagement in doing this movie. So, hey Jim, how you doing?
I am thrilled to be here on anti-Christmas Eve.
All right. So, Jack Hall.
Fuck trolls.
And finally, Nick Boxer. Nick left, so see, much like Fat Grizzly Adams, he fell asleep too. Oh my lord! All right,
yeah, he left. He left. I thought it was just. What's his name? Who's the guy that we have an ad on?
Oh yeah,
Brad Doc.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh.
Greetings and salutations.
Our sound sync's a little off.
Yes. I am so happy to be talking about this film.
Mr. Q there.
my mute button seems to be just going on and off and random. So.
Oh, Nick, you make me laugh. All right. Well, anyways, Nick, let's hope your mute button doesn't go off while you are attempting to tell the fans about the movie Elves.
Well, some young girls steal off into the wilderness and accidentally, on purpose, summon some sort of mystical elf that starts stalking and killing people. And to defend them, all of a sudden, we have an ex-cop, ex-security guard turned mall Santa to defend her. And there's Nazis, and I really don't understand where the Nazis come in.
But they are such really a key part of the story.
They're there. I know, but they give you two options, whether the elves are sort of a genetically modified Nazi experiment or the mystical angle, and you sort of have to choose one and just keep to their road. Because at no time do the two like theories of why I say elves, but it's a single elf are killing people.
You know what? I never noticed that till now. It's called elves. There's one.
Yep.
Well, she's gonna. Yeah, I mean, it's a Nazi breeding experiment. And she's gonna breed half elf, half humans. So presumably she will have elves. I mean, I don't know if you call them elves, like as they're.
Well, okay, yeah, because when hell is full, then the elves will breed and will walk the earth. Yeah. So makes no sense whatsoever when they try to explain the movie at the beginning of the movie.
what I think is awesome is that Nick's plot summary is almost word for word what I told my coworkers at lunch today. What this movie was about. And it sounded as appealing to them as Nick was able to sell it. And honestly, I love this. Like, I really love this movie. I got 3 pages of notes on this film. I've got so much I can say about this movie.
I mean, as confusing it is, it works.
Absolutely. Without question. God damn it, I said without question.
I do question why the whole incest angle was necessary.
Oh, come on. The incest angle is completely necessary. I mean, when you really look at that
sentence,
pure Aryan line.
Yes.
They need a pure Aryan line, and incest is the only way to make that happen.
Yes.
I guess. Well, I don't know.
Don't get me wrong.
Elves.
I I have no idea why, you know, where the brother came from. I would have loved to have figured out the brother.
I was thinking that.
They never explain that part.
Well, first off, explain the family. Somebody explain it, because otherwise people are going to, they don't understand what we're talking about and why that's so confusing.
I do need somebody to explain it to me.
Okay. Well, so you get the mother who was used as an experiment by her father, of course. So who's the grandfather to our Kirsten character, who's the lead
heroine.
And then you've got her brother, who's Willie, and so her mother's really mean to her. I'm only guessing because she's the product of incest, so that must make it bad. And
that's a pretty standard trope.
That's not the least weird part of this entire movie.
Yeah.
But she's really mean. This is another movie with a mean family in it.
And Grandpa's still in the
picture.
I think you missed the Grandpa still in the picture. Grandpa lives in the house with
Grandpa,
them.
Yeah, Grandpa lives in the house. And Dad is gone. There is no Dad, so of course Dad is gone. Because Dad's Grandpa. Wow. Yeah, it doesn't get any better when you try to explain it.
It's explained with the, I think the quote is something like what was, actually, you know what? I'm going to find it right here. Your father's in the study. What? No, grandfather's in the study. Dad is dead. No, your grandfather is your grandfather and your father. Oh, I love it.
I love that that granddad explains that it's not what you think. He drugged her before he had sex with her.
Yeah, yeah.
It was for the betterment of the Aryan bloodline that he had to do it. So really, he didn't necessarily enjoy it. It was just something that he had to do.
Him being the last, obviously the last pure Aryan man left in the world, he had no choice.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the Nazis in this movie do look suspiciously Jewish.
They're really the Aryan ideal of, for sure. But they look kind of Italian, Italian thuggish.
Well, they were just rent a Nazis.
So Dan Haggerty, who of course, as you mentioned, known for Grizzly Adams, he's in this film post rehab for cocaine. Really needs to take it easy, and
apparently
he was busted for cocaine just a couple of years before this movie came out.
Oh, you're kidding.
And 86, and this movie's 89. So yeah, he would have been on the road to recovery here.
Well, apparently the only way that he can fix it, his addiction, is to smoke a cigarette every second.
I was just about to say, there are like two scenes in the entire film where he is not smoking a cigarette. There's a point where he's like sneaking downstairs and he's still got a smoke in his mouth. At one point he goes into a library and he's smoking. He wanders into Kirsten's house, follows her in and has a conversation with Kirsten's mom, still smoking the entire time.
I mean, he's got a carton of Camels at one point next to him.
Like a second scene, he's talking about, oh, these things are going to give you a gray lung or something like that. Well, if they're gonna, they're gonna, or something like that. Like, he's, you know, like, anybody else think to themselves, man, Dan Haggerty, after this film, I'm pretty sure he would have made an excellent Frank Miller Batman.
Man, he would have been good at that.
He would have been goddamn good at that. He could have been the goddamn Batman. He would have been goddamn nailed.
Maybe he
shot him in this movie like 50 times.
So he gets the job as the mall, as the like department store Santa in the same mall where Kirsten's working. That's how they meet. So he's washed out as a cop because he's an alcoholic. He's washed out as a store detective because he's an alcoholic.
Talking to her when she's still before he has the job.
He's just hanging around the department store. Yeah. He, well, he's but, there because they'll give him a free cup.
But he says to her, You're not your usual chipper self today.
Yeah, so, that was an odd. Yeah, that's an odd line.
Yeah, so clearly I'd met her before.
Yeah, maybe he knows her from when he was working at the department store. So he takes the Santa job after the previous Santa gets murdered by the elf. Because in this film, the elf kills everyone that is a problem for our starlet, for our heroine.
For some reason.
Well, he's protecting her because he's got it. She's the one he has to have sex with. So he's got to protect her.
And that can Christmas only be done Eve,
on Christmas Eve. That's the only way you get an Antichrist. Everybody knows that.
The Nazis are also looking for her. Kill everybody else, even her friends, for no reason, because they're protecting her.
Yeah, I mean, they fire bullets directly at her, but that's, again, for her own protection.
Yes.
But so what struck me about the Santa that gets killed, though, the previous Santa before Dan Haggerty takes over, is that this Santa has a cocaine habit. How much does a store Santa make that he can afford to have a cocaine habit?
Well, he was pissed when he tripped and knocked some of the cocaine off. I mean,
that's true.
I'd be pretty pissed too. But
you do have to get your money's worth there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially if you're a mall Santa, then like you say, you probably don't make a lot of money. So if wasting any coke is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little confused here. The elf killed the Santa Claus to protect Kirsten?
Yeah, because the Santa got handsy with her.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, was
she Kirsten sat on his lap because they had gone specifically, because every character in this movie is an asshole. Every single.
Oh, yeah, no. Everyone is a complete asshole. I was just, I didn't realize that it was Kirsten sitting on his lap that he asked for oral.
Yeah, but after they said, hey, let's go mess with the Santa.
Well, see,
they waited in line to do so.
Because this is the first half of the movie where they're trying to play her character off as the character that hates Christmas, seems to want to be into witchcraft of some sort, and just, overall has, mean friends and stuff like that. She completely changes in the second half of the movie.
Yeah, Well, and witchcraft, because as we all know, this is well known, everybody has to be careful. When hell is full, elves will walk the earth.
It's true. That's what I've
Kirsten
heard.
Kirsten does have a great line. Kirsten gets questioned by the police who are investigating the death of the Santa. And she said, they tell her. He's been killed in the back room. You have access to it. You had an altercation earlier, where he was feeling you up. So
and
we've got
his balls were cut off. I don't think
and his balls were cut off. Yes, that's fair. Yeah,
that's how he
and
was killed.
And he was his balls were cut off. So Kirsten's response to this is, he was a pervert and a drug addict, and somebody killed him. Isn't that the spirit of Christmas?
Every character has been an asshole.
My favorite. Yeah, she's vile. She's awesome.
Well, I mean, who isn't? Like you say, I mean, it's just, I just, oh man, it's so hard to understand this movie. and Dan
the
Haggerty.
Mother, and I know the mother was, assaulted and that's why her father is the grandfather and blah, blah, blah. And so you feel almost bad for the mother, but not bad enough that you go, but it was okay what she did to the cat.
Yeah, the drowning of the cat in the toilet for really no apparent reason.
If you hate cats that much, why did you have one in the first place that you put it in a pillow stack and drowned it in the toilet?
I would have filled the tub. If I was really inclined, I would not have drowned it in the toilet.
You get a hairball in there, that thing's not going to flush properly.
but I guess because she dies in the tub later, that they don't want to foreshadow it by her killing the cat in the tub. So.
And my goodness, when the mom is killed in the bathtub later, isn't that the most gratuitous use of a body double you have seen on screen? So the mom is, she's not an unattractive woman, but she's, in her mid-40s.
She was 52 at the time of this film.
50,
she was,
so.
She they go out of their way to let you know she's supposed to be in her early 30s. She was 16. she had Kirsten.
So they make a point of her. She's actually 52. Wow.
She's 52 at the time of this movie. Deanna Lund, she just died this year. She's at 81. She was like 52 or 54 or something like that when this was done.
And she has it's one of the most gratuitous body doubles ever, because they show her like starting to take off her top, and then they switch to the body double who's got her head turned away from camera next to the tub in this really kind of awkward position where she's looking over her shoulder away from the camera in a way that you would not if you were getting into a tub. And it's a woman like 20 or if she's 52, 30 years younger than her.
There's the scene though where you can see her face and she's in the tub.
And you can see the bathing suit she's wearing.
No, she's totally topless.
No, she's wearing a bathing suit. You see it pop into frame a couple times.
I disagree. I know that this actress was naked in other movies. So, I mean, of course, she was 54 or 52 or something here. So, but yeah, that's not the way. You know what? Well, they fooled me.
well done on fooling you then.
I'm so happy. I'd like to right now point out, by the way, this movie on IMDb is listed as PG-13. This is not PG-13, folks. Please don't watch this with 18-year-old.
Yeah, this one that you
unless 18-year-old is Willy, the mouth on that kid, you got no problem showing him anything.
This is one of those cases where if you used to watch Grizzly Adams as a kid and you were thinking to yourself, man, I love that Dan Haggerty. I really want to watch another movie see his career unfold. And then you'd watch this and be like, oh my God, you've just ruined my life.
Oh, I know. I know.
I definitely was in a
Grizzly Adams. Yeah.
Because if he could, I don't think he could care less about being in this movie at all. every line, like especially in the first third, is delivered like he's fucking Eeyore. It's like,
that's a body double. I gotta tell you, I don't think so. I do not. I'm calling bullshit.
Well, I'll tell you what. You put together the photo montage and we'll compare.
You got it.
This seems like something for the website.
It does, doesn't it?
I'm kind of curious because I'm undecided on this. Was the elf puppet / little person convincing to you?
No.
No. See, I thought that the elf was scary as hell, except when he moved.
Well, anytime that they just had shots of like the head of the elf on like this side of the camera where there's clearly somebody who's just holding it and is supposed to be walking forward, or whenever they were shooting the elf's feet moving.
Oh, the feet. Those were the worst.
Unbelievable. Those were so terrible.
Like, and the fact that there was a company that made the elf. And that actually, you know, like, and the different levels, like the radio-controlled elf, the elf legs, the elf body and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, that looks like
it
should have been somebody in their garage. And it's like, I mean, hopefully the company actually was working out of a garage, because that's about the quality that it looked like.
Hopefully the company's not a business. What's the budget on this film? Anybody know?
I can only imagine that it seemed like it should be pretty big to me, but I don't.
Relatively.
Yes. I mean, okay. So let's see now. If we know that when we did Santa Claus, that was 40,000. This one seems like it had to be at least 100 in that regard. Don't get me wrong. They didn't spend the money well, but. Because that fucking elf did not look good.
I love that it's like it's not really it's not a puppet at all. It's just like they wobble this this like solid doll in front of the camera.
Well, and it's like whatever they needed, but there is radio controlled elf bits because it's listed in the credits. But
really,
yeah, like so I think that they actually did spend a lot of money on the elf. And yet it seems like every time it gets used, it truly is like, oh, look, it's a wobbling arm. Oh, the wobbling arm is like, poof, poof. It's attempting to like grab something. And they have to like try to finagle this arm to look like they grab something. And it's terrible when they do that.
Well, it is really one of the worst. And of course, it doesn't look like an elf. The kid, Willie, the younger brother that we, again, if she is the product, who was the father to this kid? We don't know.
Nope.
We will never figure that out. It's never mentioned. But her younger brother, Willie, the elf comes into her house, I think to kill him because he is spying on her naked. And she goes, she says to him, I'm your fucking sister. And his response is, yeah, you got fucking big tits, and I'm going to tell everybody I saw them.
Yeah, something wrong with his family.
Incest runs in the family, really. Like
I love that line she has at the end where her brother says, is everything going to be okay? And she says, no, Gramps is a Nazi.
That is, I laughed. I lost it. I laughed. I don't know if I laughed that loud. Like, there were some great lines in this. Like when she comes home and she goes, how was your day? She says to her mom, not good. Her mother says, you look terrible. She goes, yeah, well, I had a rough day at work. Santa got murdered. Like just casually. But yeah.
I love the fact that after they discover, Dan Haggerty's character discovers that her mother's been killed, and she's like, oh my God, mom, like, what is she going to be okay? She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. And just pushes them away. And it's just like, really? Really? You know, like, you're just going to be like, we're going to, the elf is trying to kill everybody, but we're just going to leave your mom here in the bathtub. She's going to be okay, though.
Fine. Yeah. Everything all right? No, Willie, Gramps is a Nazi. Casually.
So
I think because he's spying on her, he's going to kill, the elf is going to kill him. So he shows up in the kid's room, jumps on him. The kid screams. Everybody comes running in, the little sister, whatever. That's when the mother blames it on, no, see, it wasn't an elf. It was, but he describes it first as like a human troll ninja creature. And I'm like, I don't see ninja. Like that was.
Well, but he's wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt earlier, right?
Is that
what he's referencing?
Maybe.
Yes, I think so.
It's also like a ninja thing and a troll thing and a couple times and then everybody's like, it's just the cat. So they all leave. And so he just lies back in his, the window's still open, just lies down in his bed. Like nobody ever believes me. I'm like, what about the elf creature that's just about to kill you? Just go back to sleep.
Now, does anyone else think they were maybe hedging their bets with the whole elf thing? Because Kirsten never calls it elf. She calls it a troll several times. Like she's campaigning to, you know,
yes,
change
she has
that.
The line, when hell is full, elves will walk the earth.
Dan Haggerty has his second best line of the movie. Talking about, he finds an expert in this field and he says, demands to know, I want to know the connection between the elves and the Nazis. which is now my life's mission. I'm making that my motto.
Well, if you find out the connection, let us all know.
We ready to score this bad boy?
Oh, sure.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. Our first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Oh, well, the elf alone is so crazy schlocky, but the fact that you've got Nazis and elves and incest and Christmas and Fat Grizzly Adams, this movie is a schlocktopus. I'm giving it an 8.
A Schlocktopus 8. I love that. Well done. Well done.
Is incest a schlock thing?
I mean it's a Chinatown thing, which is where I assume they got it from.
it's a schlock thing when you're talking about the Nazis having to have injected the perfect the Aryan blood into an elf somehow, so that, and the only way that it can be truly born into the Antichrist is through the virgin born through incest. So yeah, that's schlocky.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm giving this one a 9 just on the basis of I had to stop this movie repeatedly to absorb what was going on. I mean, I had such a great time. Oh, this is great. No, 9. Wow.
I'm going to give this a Schlocktagon, 6.
Does an octagon have 8 sides?
I was going to say yes.
But pentagon has 5, and I figured, fuck it. Just give it whatever.
Like a sextagon? Is that what's like? That doesn't sound
sextagon,
right.
Octagon, I guess that's it. Yeah, because I don't want to give it an 8.
Yeah, I guess 6. Is it just a rhombus at that point?
Here's the problem. It's got a lot of schlock.
A schlombus?
I didn't enjoy it as much as you guys.
I think anytime you've got Nazis and the supernatural, your schlock number is coming in hot already, from the very beginning. I love that line. If you ignore their brutality, the Nazis are just a bunch of crackpots. I freaking love that. I'm giving this an 8. I think
I'm going to look at them differently now.
Nazi breeding program. It's brilliant. All right. Our next category called More Heart Than Budget.
Well, the fact that they spent money on that elf, that was such a terrible use of budget. And the fact that Dan Haggerty was phoning it in because this was a paycheck, I loved it, but I'm going low on this one with a 3.
I'll go as high as a 6. I don't think this gets made without somebody just, I gotta make this movie. I just know it wasn't Dan Haggerty.
That's for sure.
You know what?
I think he had in his contract that he'd do the finale, but he had to do it lying down.
The fact, I think that he had it in his contract that he had to get paid in camels.
That was craft services for Dan.
I mean 18 cartons of smokes a day. That's what I mean.
Amazing. He only died like a few years ago. The way he was smoking though. I was gonna go 6, but I'm gonna go 7 now and give it a Schlocktagon. Because no, I'm going to 7 now that I know that they spent all that money. They had no money, but they did all that effort on that elf. The radio controlled and little person and all this and that. So yeah, I'm going to go that.
Well, I think they made really good use of only a few sets that they use in the film. And really, the house and the department store get a lot of mileage for this film. So I also gave it a 6. I think there's some economies here, and smokes were cheap at the time. All right. Our next category is called What the Fuck Moments.
All right. Well, I pulled a couple. There's one of the little ones.
Keep it to just your top 10.
Yeah. But the little ones that I enjoyed was when they're in the store and they're being attacked by the Nazi mafia. And I found it very amusing because they're in the gun section and Dan Haggerty's like poking around for a gun, and because everything's guns right there. And there's a sign that says gift ideas for mom sitting in front of the guns.
I love that.
I missed that. That's awesome.
I was thinking, really? Is that like, yeah, hey, mom, here you go. Merry Christmas. I got you an Uzi. So I enjoyed that a lot. The number one thing for me, though, is seeing the movie poster and seeing the Dan Haggerty in Elves. They're not working for Santa, .. anymore. And it's an elf unwrapping a gift. And I'm like, well, shit, this is not those kind of elves.
Nothing to do with the actual movie. Not a damn thing.
Like, elves, like, the fact that this even took place at Christmas is almost more of a sideline just because you needed it to be December 24th. The fact that Dan Haggerty turned in, like, managed to become the department store Santa for all of, I think, about 10 minutes. He was that for one day before he got fired.
Dan, do you think maybe that it was those elves? And somebody fed them after midnight?
Oh, yeah. If there was more than one, sure. And of course, there you go. There's another point. It's called Elves, and there's only Elf. And really, I make no doubt, I enjoyed this movie a lot more than Elf. But I'm going to give this one a good, strong... I'm going to go back to the Schlocktopus and give it another 8.
Did you enjoy this more, though, than Elf?
Well, Elf. Elf also would kill cats.
Did you enjoy it more than Elves?
Elves.
The sequel, if there's more than one elf.
No, the sequel for this was Elf, and a whole bunch of them, but it was only called Elf.
I want to watch this as a double bill. I think that'd work.
I want this to be remastered is what I want. I love the VHS watching, but I do feel like I missed some stuff while watching it in that VHS manner, and it would be nice to see it in a clean, you know,
if we
you could really...
Santa Claus can have that kind of special edition DVD, why the hell can't we have one for this?
That's a good point.
Well, there is the 2018 Elves coming out, so...
When? It's almost 2000.
It may be out now. Stars Stephanie Marie and Deanna Grace.
Oh, so you're saying there's a different movie called that. All right. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Nick, what the fuck moments?
For this movie, not the one that's coming out.
Just in general, not movies with a similar name.
The fact that there's only one elf and it's called Elves. the fact that Haggerty recognizes a elf symbol from high school and he knows to research it because it might become important somewhere down the line. Before he has any hard proof that elves exist. I had such a great time with this movie. I'm going with an 8. I mean, nothing about this movie should exist, yet it does.
Yeah, it doesn't have the most WTFs, I don't think, but it has some really high quality ones. I like the fact that that the Nazis want to get her to protect her or something like that. So she's in for some reason I still don't understand. Her and her friends decide to just hang out in the whatever the store in the middle of the night. And Dan Haggerty used to be the security guard, but apparently when they got rid of him for his problem alcohol, they decided fuck it, we don't need one because there's no other security guard.
Well, they do say they contract out, so. But at no time do they show up.
They never show up. Well, speaking of which, so the Nazis, so there's the boys who they're supposed to also have invited over. One of them can't make it, so he's like, I got a crowbar. I'll go Jimmy the door open, while the other two want to get in to get at the women because they're horny. And then the Nazis show up, so the alarm goes off, and then the two guys are dead outside. We never see the third guy, I don't think. And the alarm goes off because that's really efficient if you're the Nazis. You want the alarm going off, but don't worry about it because it's going to take the police in this town of like 400 people like 3 hours to get there. And this is after the police earlier when they showed up at the when the Santa was killed. They didn't shut the store down. And the, the chalk outline that was left when Dan Haggerty becomes the Santa now and is in the Santa dressing room, the fact that the chalk outline is just there, they haven't cornered it off as like a crime scene or anything, and they just leave the chalk outline on the end so for him to be reminded that, hey, last Santa was killed. Like, it's just, it's pretty damn crazy. Seven.
Well, I want to expand on the police, because the police are actually my WTF for the whole film. So it's not actually a chalk outline. It's a taped outline that is there days later.
Yes. Days.
Like, it never leaves that room. They've taped out the outline of the body.
It's not a crime scene, though. They never, you know, go ahead and keep using it. Somebody was killed in here.
That's because the store owner is probably or seems to be the kind of guy who doesn't want to spend the money to even...
The manager, you mean, right?
Yeah,
the manager is just like, that guy
that's the thing, though. They finished their investigation. They totally finished their investigation. They have questioned people. They have looked at the room, and while they're looking at the room, one of the cops samples the cocaine that the Santa had.
Oh, I never noticed that.
the lead detective is talking, and the uniform cop in the back is rubbing his finger across his gums because he's wiped up the line of coke that was there from the Santa.
That's fantastic.
that means the real coke.
So we've got the response time, which is, it was abysmal. We've got the chalk outline, but there's one more bit. So after the big shootout at the department store, and everything's chaos and we got dead bodies everywhere, and the police detective, he wants answers, and he tells all of his fellow officers, I want you to dust this whole store for latent prints. The busiest store in town. So I'm assuming his plan is to take every print they can find and then eliminate everyone who had a reason to be there. What you'll be left with, the criminals.
It should.
But then they show one of the cops actually doing that. In the background, there's a cop that's dusting a door for prints. Nine. This movie's awesome. It makes no goddamn sense. I'm not even sure the chalk outline is the same as where the body was in the earlier scene. Taped outline. All right, the next category is called memorable moments.
Well, there's a great moment for me where Dan Haggerty's character goes to the library because he's got to check on the occult symbols that he's seeing. So he asks the librarian where he can find the book about the occult, and she says, "Oh, according to the Dewey Decimal System, it's in section 666."
You want a little? What do you call in the trivia? Holiday cheer? What's it called this year?
Yeah, holiday cheer.
Yeah, I've got holiday cheer for that. 666 in the Dewey Decimal System is actually chemical engineering, ceramic, and allied technologies.
Fantastic! I love
quick,
that.
Up the WTF factor.
I love that moment. And I am never, ever going to forget the concept of, you know, when hell is full, elves will walk the earth. You know? And all I can think is, like, you know, and I think there's a line that references it, you know, oh, hell is full. Hell's full, where are you going to go? You know, it's just, like, awesome. So awesome. Because I just, wow. And why is the elf going to walk the earth? That's okay. I'm going to give this a six.
Just because the crux of this movie seems to be trying to figure out the connection between the elves and the Nazis. I have to go high on this. There's no way around it. Eight. I mean, there's so many... I don't think I could forget a lot of these lines. The grandpa is a Nazi. There's the killing of the cat is so memorable. There's so much goodness in this movie. This is going to make it in the regular rotation. I'll tell you this right now.
Every Christmas, Nick is settling down for his annual viewing of Elves.
The Great Rupert Out, Elves In.
Oh, boy. Well, I got a 4.
What could you possibly forget about this movie?
Well, because it's all WTF. It's not memorable moments for me. The only thing that's memorable to me that's probably with the, and even that's got some WTF, is the elf. Like, that thing is unbelievable. I mean, you know, I like the mother goes to in the bathroom and she's, you know, getting naked and whatever. Anybody ever figure out how the elf got in there? She locked the door and closed it.
The elf has magical powers.
It's an elf. Yeah,
this probably fits in WTFs again, but the elf then throws that, remember, he throws the radio in there, and that radio looks like it's on like AA batteries. He throws that in there to electrocute her. He's hiding behind it. It's about the size of like a cell phone now, and he's hiding behind it, even though he's much bigger than it. It's more WTFs than it is memorable moments for me. There's a few that are good quotes in the elf itself, but I don't think it's really high on that.
I don't think we have a shot in this.
No, here's the thing, and you, Nick, I don't think you get this. WTFs and memorable moments. Memorable moments are those things that are iconic that they did on purpose. And all the things that you're talking about that's memorable is stuff that they did by accident.
They did it all on purpose.
There's a great vision behind this film, that's for sure. All right. I want to call out one of those. You said there's a lot of great lines in this film, and there is one that it's one of the most badass movie lines I've ever seen. How this was not said by Bruce Willis, I have no idea. Dan Haggerty, on top of a Nazi, beating the hell out of him, says, "How many teeth you got? Pow! How many now?"
Yeah, he's asking all these questions. Tell me about the elf.
Freaking badass.
Tell me all this, that, and yeah, and then how many teeth you got? Pow! He doesn't give him time to ever answer. Hits them again. How many now? That was awesome. That, you know what? I'm adding one to 5 to that because that was awesome.
That's a 5. Badass line. I'm giving it an 8. All right, our last category is called Crazy Concept.
Oh, man. Elves, Christmas, that by itself, that's okay. But Dan Haggerty phoning it in with as the store Santa. But it's the Nazi incest line that really does it for me. I cannot.
It's a lot of layers.
I cannot imagine attempting to sell this to anybody and being like, and being so excited, like, well, yeah, we got Dan Haggerty. It's gonna be so great. Do you remember him? He was Grizzly fucking Adams, man. But it's so great because we got Dan Haggerty. And let me tell you, we got Nazis and we got an elf. We got elves, man, and we got Santa Claus. Oh yeah, and there's incest. It's Dan, right there. This is the craziest concept that we've seen in a while. Love it.
Well said, but I'm only giving it a 9.
Oh, I have to say, I agree. Anytime you talk elf, Christmas, Satanism, witchcraft, Nazis, incest, Grizzly Adams, at least $1 million budget, and $1.75 of that put towards lighting.
It's a dark ass film.
Good Lord. You can hardly see anything. I think a 9 is pretty good.
I love that the only way to start describing this movie to someone is, do you remember Grizzly Adams? Because it so puts you in the wrong headspace for where this movie ends up with a non-mechanical elf fingering our heroine. That's all I can figure from what's happening in that scene. But there's no other way to describe it that doesn't start with, do you remember Grizzly Adams? I was trying to describe this to people because I was excited to talk about it, and I said, do you remember Grizzly Adams? And they're like, does he play Santa? I'm like, yes, he does.
Sort of. Yeah, very sort of.
does.
The whole movie, they call him Santa, and then finally the brother goes, "That's not Santa." And I'm like, "No, but I don't think he's ever given a name, is he? Maybe he is from the. He is.
Yeah.
The girl never knows his name.
Well, yeah, he introduces himself, but she prefers to call him Santa. She asks if she can continue calling him Santa.
Okay, because she does the whole freaking movie.
Yeah, but she just, it's just nice that she likes calling him Santa.
But she hates Christmas and Santa. Like,
All right. As always, we have our secret modifiers. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers, which will change the final score of the film. This film has 3 of them that apply. We have a -1 for what we call hide the nog. There are no festive beverages that I could discern being consumed in this film. It does get a -1 for what we're calling the White Christmas. There are also no actors of any of color anywhere in this
film.
What
about the elf?
With the possible exception of the Aryan guys who look, I don't know, kind of Latino, Italian. It does get a +1 for being, I think, the movie this season that most captures the true meaning of the holiday, though. Because it actually does talk about Jesus being born on Christmas, which is unlike all of the rest of the films.
True.
So I'm giving it a plus. It's got Santa. It's got family. It's a family being brought closer together. It's family finding out that they're much closer than they thought. So it gets a +1 for the true meaning of the holiday, bringing it to a grand total of 73 out of 100, which does put it in the top 10 of movies we have watched so far on Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Nice. Okay. I can live with that.
It you know, especially as we talk about it, it's one thing when you're watching it, but I think as we're talking about it and you realize all of the exceptional elements to it, then you know, you start to realize how it deserves that top 10 slot. So very good, very good. All right, why don't you tell us how the folks can find us on the internet?
Absolutely. The best place for us is on Instagram, Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And on the other places, go to WeTalkPodcast.com. That's the home of the Octagon, where you can see the running total of all of the movies we have watched so far on the podcast, including links back to all of the old episodes if you have not listened to the older stuff. And they also have, We Talk Podcasts also has a Facebook and a Twitter that you can follow and find out when our new episodes are coming up.
It's all very exciting. And speaking of very exciting, I know we're all excited to know that we get to watch Santa with Muscles next. Because, you know, the Christmas nightmare continues.
I've literally been putting off this movie for 25 years or something like that. And now I'm going to have to.
It's time, Jack. It's time. Because what you going to do when the biggest Santa in the world comes crashing down on you? Oh God! Oh, this is gonna be something. I have had a lot of fun talking about elves today. Oh, this has been season 4. I don't even know what the hell episode it is. I think it's episode 7. No, it's 8. No, it's 6. It's an episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo on elves. All right. Does anybody have anything else to say? Because I apparently shouldn't be talking much more.
I thought you were going to Chinatown. She's your mother. She's your sister. She's your mother. She's your sister.
That's about where I was going to wind up. All right. For Nick, for Jack, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stan Adu. And thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
An innocent romp in the woods turns into a hellish nightmare when an evil force is accidentally awakened. Action International Pictures presents the gruesome holiday shocker, Elves. They're not working for Santa anymore.
I had a rough day at work. Santa got murdered.
What are you trying to do?
Their mission, to mate with a virgin and conquer the world as a pint-sized master race.
I'm saving it for someone special.
Dan Haggerty stars as Mike McGavin, an ex-detective working on hard times.
First you sin and then you die.
She is the most important person on Earth. From her will grow the new order.
Santa must expose this unholy force before the elves destroy Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
Elves. They're not working for Santa anymore.